Deo. Daylight come and me wanna go home. De. Misa de. Misa de. Misa deo. Whateria. Whateria. Yeah. Back with another motherfucking solo for y'alls. You know what it is. You know what it is. You done by knowing what it was. Shit, I ain't gotta tell you what it is, cause you know what it was. You done by knowing what it is. Yeah. Well, God damn it, that sounds so weird. You know what? Fuck it. We're gonna run it. I don't give a shit. It's recording. Oh, wait. There it is. Hold on. Hold it the phone. Well, I hope I don't get copyrighted for that. Opened up with a little bit of karaoke Deo by Harry Belafonte. That motherfucker, dude. Harry Belafonte, man. Interesting cat. Actually, I think we're coming up on his 1 year death anniversary. He died a few days after my oldest daughter's birthday, which is coming up end of next week. But Harry Belafonte, man, let me just, you know, y'all probably know him from Deo, but that's not, you know, I mean, it is something he did, but that's not, you know, all it is. Let me tell you what it is. Harry Belafonte, man, that motherfucker, if I remember right, he was married like 3 times, which is cool. Not, you know, no judgment. He was born like late 1920s and he died last year, 2023. You know, he was black. He was a civil rights activist amongst a singer, which I feel like most black celebrities in that time frame, that era, the roaring 20s especially, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I think the majority of them were civil rights activists. He was also an actor. But I think the album was called Calypso. I should probably Google this. But it was the first million-selling LP by an individual artist, you know. I mean, obviously he had a band and stuff. But he was, you know what, let me Google this here really quick. Harry Belafonte. Okay. Harry Belafonte. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Born March 1st, 1927. Harlem, New York. Says he was an American singer, actor, and civil rights activist who popularized calypso music with international audiences in the 1950s and 60s. Belafonte's career breakthrough album, Calypso, was the first million-selling LP by a single artist. Okay. Died of congestive heart failure, April 25th. 2023, at 96 years old. Okay. Well, pour one out for my boy, Harry Belafonte. You know, I just figured I'd check in with you guys. I was going to schedule to record with somebody this week, and I actually opted out of bringing in a guest this week, just to try and give the wife a little bit of a break, be around the house, help out with the kids a little more, even though it's only, you know, 3-4 hours in the evening. And she's been working, you know, four nights a week. But she had a little bit of a anxiety flare up. A few days ago. So let me tell you about that really quick. So Sunday, she went to see her mom, which was cool. And then, was it Sunday? Hold on a second. Got the monitor rolling because I put the kids to sleep a little bit ago. Just wanted to make sure that I thought I heard some fussing and rustling, but they out. No, I think it was Sunday. I had to work the next day, whatever day it was. Oh, no. It was not Sunday. It was Monday. So she got to her mom's, you know, ended up not feeling good. Had a little bit of an anxiety flare up, you know. And she dropped me off at work. I ended up getting a ride home. Shout out Jake Jackson, coming through with that ride, gang. And she was gonna be home a little later, she said, and ended up going to the hospital, having her mom take her to the hospital. Her mom had to come from an hour downstate to pick me up, to take me to the hospital to sit with her, which at that point she had not been seen yet, so she just wanted us to pick her up and take her back to her mom's. And this was around midnight. And so I had an hour drive north at midnight, got home around 1, a little after, and then I had to get up for work at 5:30. 5:30 is pushing it, but I push that shit. I push it. I've got plans to try and gain back an hour or two of my day, but I've got to change my sleep schedule first. I want to start waking up around like 3:30. That way I can get a good 2 hours, a little over 2 hours in the morning. You know, whether it's take advantage of some of that time to record, do some workout, fucking maybe take a jog, even use that time to allocate for like uploading to YouTube and Rumble, shit like that. So I don't know how we got there, but we got there. You know what a deal. You listen, you know what a deal. It don't make sense, so don't think about it. Because a deal, what a deal. Yep. So anyway, before I check in on you, let me just ask. Before I check in on you, let me just say this. No promises. I'm not getting my hopes up too high. But just scheduled a recording next week. Nicho, you've been hearing his name recently. He's got a guest that he wants me to record with, and he wants to do the engineering on it, sit in, kind of watch the process, probably analyze me, probably going to be judging me the whole time, but going to be interviewing a guest that is, I've never met the guy, but he sounds pretty interesting from what Nijos told me, so we'll see how that goes. Again, not getting my hopes up, it's scheduled, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to change. Like, it may get pushed a week back, 2 weeks back, it may not happen. But I'm going to keep thinking on the positive side, and hopefully this will, unlock the door to more opportunities in the future, if that makes sense. Whether it's a, God damn, what's the word I'm looking for? Collab? And, yeah, that'll work. Whether it's a collab type situation or, you know, maybe we can figure out something contractually down the road here. But honestly, I'd like to, I'm going to talk to him and see how he feels about it, but I'd like to actually do an episode with Nicho, kind of let you guys get to know him, kind of get to know him a little better myself. And, cause he's a cool dude. He's interesting as fuck. He can be morbid. He can be sarcastic. And I love that shit. Like that's literally my language, you know? So we'll see how that goes. Actually I'll probably hit him up here. Well, you know what? No, I'll talk to about him when we meet up to record with his guest. Again, thinking positive. So with that, on that note, I gotta admit, I hate to bring it back up. God damn, I hate to bring it back up, but I've been thinking a lot about, I don't hate to bring it back up because it's literally part of my thought process. When I have something that's perplexing me, it consumes a lot of thought. And if I don't feel I'm expressing my thoughts and feelings about it correctly, it bugs me. And it's not like annoying. It can get frustrating, but it's not, that's not the factor that keeps it forth of mind. It's just a problem that I'd like to solve within myself. And that's what keeps it forth of mind. So with that being said, we back to talking about them bitches. With all due respect. With all due respect. I'll make it quick because I really don't want to get into it. But I've been thinking about it, and one of the things that that kind of crossed my mind, honestly, today, had a pretty good day. I'll tell you about it in a minute, but I think a lot of times we have to step away from something to gain perspective. And I try to do that with everything. I've told my oldest daughter, when I try and think of a scenario, like, I'm not even going to try and come up with a scenario, but if I try and think of a scenario that I'm dealing with, or like if I'm going to give somebody advice, I try and imagine it from a third person perspective. So there's me in the chair. There's this other person in the chair, and I'm an observer standing in the doorway of another room watching these people. And I try to, even though I'm obviously still first person communicating, I try to bring that third person perspective into it. And I think that's why I've been so harsh within my first 50 episodes of, like, you know, and that's another factor on why I quit drinking, is because it's, other than the health, it was just another line item that it was starting to affect, like, my conversational ability. And it affected my conversational ability and my ability to be aware of that. And I've been doing that forever, apparently, because you do something repetitively and it becomes a habit. And up until I started recording while drinking, I didn't really notice it, but listening back, being forced to listen to these, because I'm doing all the editing and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing still with the audio, I was consuming the content and, I was hearing myself and cringing almost every episode because I could hear it progress from one beer to two beers to three beers to five beers, and my looseness. And it to me, it didn't give me credibility, because I try and be genuine, truthful, just upfront in general. I've been trying to deliver things with a little more grace instead of being so blunt, so it doesn't come across as rude. But even on like story recall, there's been times where like it's been foggy, you know, and I'm literally filling in patches in an inebriated state, and then I go back and listen, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, that was, I mean, it wasn't far off, but, you know, just thinking of the details and trying to be truthful to the maximum, you know, it might be something like, you know, I was in the front seat, where actually I was in the back seat, or, you know, just little shit. So, with that being said, I want to get back to talking about the ladies, because I feel like I've been going harsh. Again, I know I've said it before, probably on the last one with Zach and Jake, but Louis wants to come back on, and because, you know, he confronted is the wrong word, but we conversed about the episode, and he wanted to come on and kind of I don't really know the words for it. He just feels like he went a little hard on the female thing. And with all these things being taken into consideration, the conversation with Zach and Jeff, my brothers and my cousin, Brickell, shout out everybody. Zach, Jeff, Brickell, Greg, Brandon, Grandpa, shout out. Just the conversations with them, even my last solo, being able to listen back, I can analyze it in a little bit different way. And something I've come to, that was honestly right in front of me the whole time, and I don't know how I missed it, is there. So with a lot of things, there's commonplace sayings, and there's truth in a lot of the sayings. And one of the things that, would come to mind would be, you know, she has daddy issues. And she may not literally have daddy issues. She may have, let me recant that. So she may have daddy issues, even though her dad is in her life. And I started to think, you know, maybe, I don't know why that popped in my head when I was listening back and thinking, but maybe somebody even said it. I don't know. But that's something I've been rolling over the last day or two, is the daddy issues thing. And when you dig into that, what does that represent as a, if you were to summarize daddy issues, what would you call that? Would you call that, trauma? Would you call that, adversity? Yeah, fuck. I'm just grasping at words. But what, you know, what would you call that? And I feel like, everybody's obviously different. And I feel like it can affect people in different ways. And I'm not focusing on just the daddy issue thing, but I just want to speak on that really quick. Because that phrase, that cliche, if you will, kind of made me realize, like, there's a lot of underlying issues. And if I'm not the only one seeing certain issues, it lends, or it gives credence, it gives validity to me to an extent about what I'm seeing. That being said, a lot of the people I talk to will agree that there's been a change in society and a change in female and male interaction with that society and each other. And I feel like a lot of that, based on everybody, and how we're reacting. I say we because I'm part of the society, but how we're reacting and treating each other, or maybe even our self-worth. I think that's all tied to trauma. And not everybody can overcome that without help, even with help. And that's what gives adversity. And when you get over that trauma, or not over it necessarily, but when you find ways to cope and deal with that, you get strength out of it. And I'm still piecing these feelings I have together in word format, so bear with me while I wordsmith this. But I feel like a lot of that is a lot of what I'm trying to express is that the underlying cause is trauma. And what we're seeing is coping mechanisms. Again, broad brush, not everybody's doing that, but I feel like that's a lot of, not even the issue, but I think that's a lot of what's the cause behind some of these things that I'm trying to bring light to and explain for my own, or understand for my own purpose, well-being, peace of mind, you name it. Because as a father of two beautiful females, these are things I think about, like, what am I doing now that may cause them to seek certain lifestyles that may not be safe or advantageous for them? And even if it's something that I don't agree with, if they're prosperous, like if it's lucrative and they're safe, how can I be upset? As long as they're comfortable with what they're doing and they are, again, safe with what they're doing, how can I be upset? You know, their life is going to have its own path, and all I can do is my best to ensure that I instill certain morals, certain work ethic. They know love, you know, compassion. They have the ability to come to me and talk, to vent, and ask questions so that they can gain a perspective or whatever they need for a certain situation that they may not have experience with or may not feel comfortable with. And I want them to come to me for that. My son also. Again, getting lost in thought here, but I think, just to summarize, I think a lot of that, what I'm trying to address or understand is trauma-based. And I'm not trying to explain away, you know, what I'm feeling. You know, I'm not trying to apologize for my opinions, but I am trying to understand, because I feel like I was coming across and even feeding into the misogynistic, or, you know, whatever.
Come on, plug in, bitch.
I had to plug in the monitor. My apologies. So, with that being said, you know, I'd like to expand on that more with a guest, rather than just roll it around myself, because I have been doing that for a couple days. But I feel like, you know, the daddy issue thing might be legitimate, but, you know, that might just literally be the suitcase that everything is put into. And when you open that suitcase, what's actually in there? You know, well, it might be maybe they're chasing their mom. You know, they see the way their mom is. Maybe they're raised in a single parent home. The parents are divorced. They're going back and forth between homes. You know, and for them, maybe a relationship is soured, and that's not something that they want. And I'm just going to throw out some scenarios here to do some time filler, but maybe even there's touch children need to be loved. They need to have eye contact. They don't need you to just be there in the room with them. They need you to engage with them. You know, whether it's they want to play or they want to snuggle, you know. They need to eat. All these things you need to be a part of. And up until recently, we didn't have TV or radio or the internet to pull us away from our children. You know, we were... I feel like that's something that, like, my grandparents' generation had that maybe my generation was one of the first to not, is they were raised with minimum distraction from the parent. You know, there was work, whether it was the dad going to work at a physical job, physically leaving the house to go to a job, or it was the mom who was staying home and working at home. You know, whether it's laundry, cleaning, you know, dishes, fucking cooking, you name it. And I know that's cliche too, the housewife. Or vice versa. It could have been the house husband. Who knows? But when they came home, there wasn't really, you know, my grandpa obviously had radio and TV at the time, but it wasn't something that, just from talking to him, it wasn't something that was pulling his parents away from interacting with him. Or even his siblings, you know, they weren't sitting down with a tablet. His parents weren't sitting, you know, his dad wasn't on the couch with his face and his phone and the TV on. His mom wasn't sitting at the kitchen table on her phone or on her laptop or tablet. You know, while she's got chicken nuggets or a pizza in the oven or whatever, you know, it was a different time and there was a lot more, personable interactions. And I feel like that's something that, is really starting to be highlighted right now. Something that's starting to be... Daisy. Nasty bitch. Lay down. I feel like that's something that's starting to be... starting to balloon to really... I don't know. So, if you have kids, this is just my PSA to pay attention to them. I understand there's housework that needs to be done. You have to go to work. You come home, you're tired. Your fucking grandparents worked very hard, and they were probably more tired than you are. And I don't know many people that wouldn't say that about their grandparents or even their parents, but mainly their grandparents, and then would then turn around and say that they have issues because of their grandparents. It seems to be, like I said, starting around my generation where maybe even, you know, the party scene took a lot of attention where, you know, you go to see the hair band, you drop your kid off at your parents', the kid's grandparents. And, I mean, I think there's a reason that my generation of kids loved their grandparents so much. And it's not that this generation doesn't, you know, this up and coming generation doesn't, because I mean, right now it's hard to afford a babysitter and family is, you know, cheaper. And, so they still have those relationships, just from my perspective. But I don't know. I hope you get what I'm saying. I hope you know what it is. I know what it is, but I don't know how to express what I think it is. You know what it is. Anyway, so yesterday I went with my grandpa. He got himself a pistola. Well, last week we went, was it Friday or Saturday? We went last weekend to, go look at one. And, well, I called ahead of time to make sure they had the three or four he had it narrowed down to in stock so he could look at them. He did such. He picked two, asked my opinion. And, it's kind of hard to give him my opinion, because I mean, I'm gonna lay one away. Well, I'll just tell you, I did lay one away. You know what I'm saying? I got me a Walther PDP XD Pro full size, 5.1 inch barrels, black. I wanted to get the gray and black, but the two tone. But they ain't have it, and that was the last they had. And then their other store didn't have one, so I couldn't just have it sent over. It was anyway. So he narrowed it down to a Canik SFX Rival and the Springfield Echelon. Both good choices. He dry fired, did all the shit. Really liked the trigger on the Canik. Showed him how to check the reset. Really liked the reset on the Canik. Mind you, it's got about half the trigger pull weight on the Canik, excuse me, as the Echelon. But everybody's raving about the Echelon right now. He really liked the sights on the Echelon, didn't like the sights on the Canik. So I told him, you know, if it's something that he doesn't like, I asked him, is he planning on putting an optic on it? He said, well, I'm not going to bank on that. Again, the wisdom. He says, I'm not going to bank on that. I'm going to shoot it, get to know it, get to love it even more than I do now. And if I decide I need an optic, it's hard to see the sights, whatever, you know, then I'll look at either buying a new set of sights or buying an optic for it. Perfect. So he ended up going with the Canik. He went with the silver. Well, it's, again, silver. What the fuck? No, gray and bronze color scheme. SFX Rival, full size. And I didn't realize that the gun laws, the pistol purchase, changed in Michigan about a month ago, where you need to now go get a pistol purchase permit. That PPP, boy! So he laid it away and wanted to go back all week. I told him, you know, I got out of work at 4:30. He wanted me to go with him, and I wanted to go with him. And, you know, I wasn't free till yesterday, Saturday. So we run up to that bitch and grab his motherfucking piece. Walks in there with his permit. Boom, I'm here to pick up my layaway. And then I just milled around at the counter while all his shit's going through and he's doing all of his paperwork. And I'm like, you know what? I've been waiting over a year. I think I'm going to scoop this PDP Pro. So I did. Put that bitch on layaway. Pick her up here in a few months, a couple months. We'll see what the financial situation is. Got to get rid of some shit in the garage. You know what it is, y'all. But I've also got other, you know, financial priorities ahead of that. Especially with this, you know, I'd like to get a new mixer. Something that can do more with less, if that makes sense. So I don't need all this equipment. But anyway, so that was my day yesterday. And then today, my grandpa was out shooting that beach. Called this morning, tried calling, and then I called him back. He said he was having a little bit of issues with getting it to run. So I told him, you know, it's normal. There's a little bit of a break-in period, springs tight, everything. Make sure it's lubed up, and then just run it. Run some rounds through it, you know. If it's not doing anything scary, it's normal. You know, failures to eject or feed, pretty normal with a sticky slide and a tight spring. New gun. Even though mechanics, they say there's usually not any issues out of the box. Well, I tried calling him. I did a little bit of online research, not to bore you guys, but I guess Canik recommends 124 grainers. He said he saw that in the manual when I got a hold of him later, but he bought like a few boxes of 115s, which were a little lighter. So you're not getting as much gas pushing the slide back, working that spring, and with a really tight spring, brand new, you're more likely to have some issues, which it's not much, but sometimes it can be the different, the benefactor. So one of the solutions was to lock the slide back, leave it like that for a day or two. That way you compress the spring, it'll eat up a little bit of that spring tension, and then good to go. Well, when I did get back a hold of him, he had lubed up the slide and it was already good to go, running like butter. But anyway, so we went to the park after we got back from getting his gun. Went to the park with the wife and the three kids. I had my oldest this weekend. So that was great. He got to, you know, get a gun. Spend a day at the park with the kids. A couple hours. Went and got pizza. Took it to the park. Just had a little day out. And then riding back with him, he was, instead of just packing us all in the Jeep, he's like, I'll just take you. Because I ended up taking the two youngest with me to get Grandpa's gun with him, and then my oldest stayed here with my wife, hung out. So I took the two youngest, and their car seats were in his truck, so he just gave us a ride back home. We just went to a local park. And on the way back, my cousin Heath gave him a call and said, hey, you know, I heard you need help doing yard work, yada yada. Grandpa says, well, I've been doing it, but you know, I'm not going to turn down help. And then they started talking about the new pistol he just bought. Says, hey, you know, come out and do some shooting tomorrow. So they scheduled a little date to do some shooting. And, you know, my initial reaction was, yeah, that sounds fun. But, you know, I didn't invite myself. And I didn't want to crash their day. Because I had just had a great day with my grandpa. Went and got a gun, went to the park, you know. And then the weekend before, had a pretty good day too. Took my son with us to go lay his gun away. And then went to Bob Evans and got to make good afternoon out of it. So I didn't want to crash their day because, shout out Heath, I love you. They don't get to see each other as often or spend as much time together as I think either of them would like. So, you know, I get home and tell my wife about that. And she's like, oh, so you want to go over there tomorrow? And because I can't remember what we were planning on doing today, just kind of hanging out. We ended up going fishing. But I was like, no, I just figured I'd tell you because it was just kind of funny that, you know, Heath called the day he bought the new pistol and yeah, I'll say it. Heath got a couple that he hasn't shot yet over the last month or two. And I was like, that'll be cool. Get them together. Well, then DJ ended up showing up with his brother, Bradley. And they just had a good day hanging out, shooting together. So when I finally got a hold of my grandpa that night, DJ and Bradley had just left. And Heath was still there, just getting ready to leave. So, you know, I tried to make it as quick as possible. But, you know, shout out Heath. He showed him how to take the slide apart, get it back together. Get it lubed up. They did some shooting. I don't know, you know, the details of it. I haven't really talked to them about, you know, what all they went through or whatever. But from what I understand, that fucking gun is fun. And I've had one on my list for a minute. I've still got a couple others I'll probably get before. I want to get me another 2.0 Smith & Wesson M&P for winter carry. Had something a little bigger. You know, but depending on, I'm sure I'm going to love this fucking Walther, so maybe I'll just get a compact PDP. We'll see. I'm going to go pro because it's got the dynamic trigger. Dude, that thing, I know I'm boring you, but dude. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Haven't even shot it. Love it. The only thing is I say it's a little snappy. I say, quit being a bitch, dude. You're shooting a fucking PDPSD Pro. Quit being a bitch. It ain't snappy. You got fucking noodle wrists. You got the motherfucking rope wrist, bitch. Stiffen up. But in all seriousness, they do say it's a little snappy, and I might have to spring it down. I think it comes stock with a 17 or 18 pound spring. Should be good running a 13 or 15 in it, which will, it'll help a lot. And a lot of people, just the mechanics behind that. So you have a spring in your slide. So in a semi-auto pistol, you fire the round, the gases reciprocate the slide, and there's a spring that it compresses. And then as the spring as the spring rebounds, goes back to original status, it pushes that slide forward, and then, you know, you pick up the next round from the magazine, goes up your barrel ramp, your feed ramp into the barrel, gets seated, and then you're good to go again. Well, if you have a super stiff spring, from an outside perspective, a lot of people, when I talk to them about it, they think that the stiffer the spring, the softer the recoil, which actually, I can understand where, because I feel like for a while until I kind of understood it, I don't want to say definitively I thought the same, but I feel like I remember going through those thoughts, like maybe the spring isn't stiff enough. But what it is equal and opposite. So as you're pushing a stiff spring, it takes more force to compress it, which that force is transferred into your wrist. As that slide's going back, the more force it takes to move that slide back. So imagine there's no spring in it. You can just slide the slide back, slide it forward. There's not going to be any recoil other than the push of that bullet leaving the barrel. But then you put a piece of wood in there that has no compression, and you try to push that slide back, it's not moving, and all that force that you're trying to push that slide back with is transferred into your wrist. It's probably just boring the shit out of you, and I've probably lost a lot of people. But anyway, if you put a softer spring in there, there's not as much force pushing the slide back, which means there's less force transferred to the wrist. You just have a little bit of, the recoil from the explosion basically going on in the palm of your hand, shoving the barrel out, or the bullet out the barrel, equal and opposite, that barrel is pushing back into you. That slide, obviously, as it moves back, is recoiling, adding some force, but then that spring launches that slide forward, and on a well-sprung pistol, you will return back to zero, or damn near. So, you take aim, you squeeze, boom, you recoil, but as that slide snaps back forward, you're back at your aiming point, for the most part. There is a thing called limp wristing, where if your wrists aren't locked tight enough, that slide, will not fully reciprocate, especially if it's not sprung or if it's oversprung. It won't reciprocate fully, which means it may not eject, or you may stovepipe, because there's not enough force in that ejector to really toss the spent casing. You may double feed. There's a lot of issues that can happen from a limp wrist, but a lot of that can be mitigated with a spring. So I'm looking forward to getting out probably this next weekend and shooting that motherfucker. Take a box of 50 out there, my own. I buy 124s for my practice. I buy 124s, so I'll probably take a box out there for me, maybe a box for him, and then that sounded selfish. If I take a box out there, I'll shoot a magazine worth, leave the rest for him, and then shoot a box of his 115s or whatever's left, maybe a magazine. I mainly want to work on his form with him and make sure it's zeroed, and then obviously play around with it, mag dump a mag or what, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. Maybe try hitting something at 100 yards. We'll see. he can change the back straps to get a nice palm swell, so maybe fuck around with that a little bit. Get it to really fit in his hand comfortably. Yeah. Yeah. And during this week, actually, you know, it is, starlings have been here all winter, but now they're starting to really congregate and nest. And I mentioned it on the Three Brothers and a Cousin podcast. Do your part. You know, if you enjoy shooting sports, stay sharp. What the fuck was that? Anyway, stay sharp. Get a pellet gun if you don't have one. Do some shooting. Hold on. Much needed drink of water right there. Take your kids out. Introduce them. Grandkids, neighbor kids, whoever the fuck. And do your part as an American. If you're not in America, do your part as a world citizen. If you have starlings or any other nuisance species, do what you can. Get out there and do your part. If nothing else, it's just another avenue to keep your skills honed. Now, that being said, I have two Daisy 880s. They're 8 or 10 pump pellet guns. I've had them from the time I was fucking 5 years, 6 years, 8 years old, whatever. My first BB gun was a Red Ryder. Then my grandpa went and bought two Daisy 880s back when they were like $20. He bought one for him, one for me. And that's what we did. We would kill house sparrows because, you know, they'd be nesting in his house, or, you know, blackbirds, that type of shit, chipmunks, just vermin, but targets, that would introduce me to, shooting fundamentals, and responsibility, firearm responsibility, multiple things. Honestly, it did for me. But it's a air rifle platform I've been familiar with for over 25 years. And they're still around, which is fucking awesome. They're not the same quality as they were when I was younger, which is sad to me. And I know my ADD is going to take me there anyway, so I'll say it. I've been looking at buying a PCP. Not the drug. Not the drug. Or? No. It's a pneumatically charged rifle. So, it's a pellet gun that you pump air into at like 3,000 PSI. And then you can get semi-autos or bolt actions where you don't have to pump it every time. You can regulate the airflow, so it's like reloading your own shells. You can fuck with how much air is coming out, the pressure, the speed of the pellet, all the shit. So you can tune for maximum accuracy. I've been looking at something like that too. But the 880s, I started tinkering with them around age 10, 12. And I built a suppressor for one around that time, and it was quiet as fuck, accurate as hell. I made it out of an Expo marker with the Fat Boys, one of them skinny highlighters, drilled some holes through the highlighter, stuffed the mini highlighter inside the Expo. The neck fit into the neck of the Expo like perfect. That slid over the barrel perfect, stuffed the area between with cotton, drilled a hole in the cap of the fucking Fat Boy Expo, for the highlighter to stick out, because it stuck out a little bit. And then, that was my first suppressor, and it worked phenomenal. I went from shooting and scaring everything within a 100-yard radius to literally being able to pick a couple birds out of a flock before they freaked. Anyway, so I've got two of them bitches now, and I've been tinkering the last 15 years. 20 years, damn near. Well, yeah, 20 years. I'm 32 now. If I did that when I was 12, it'd be 20 years. So anyway, crazy. Fucking blew my mind right there. But I've been tinkering. more and more and more and more, and now that the internet is expanded, information is everywhere. You know, you can find a lot of mods and upgrades and all sorts of shit. So anyway, this last year, when I was maybe 16, I took the mechanism apart, filed the trigger down on the one I had, and it was crisp. And while it was apart, I wrapped some tape around the barrel. The barrel goes through like a shroud, and the barrel and the tape wedged, or the tape on the barrel wedged up against the shroud, so that fucker wasn't wiggling, and it accurized it. So anyway, I did that to both of mine, and last year I have one with a nice scope on it and one open sights. I filed the front sight down to a pyramid, so I have like a very fine point. Instead of a big fat dot, I have a very fine point, so I can be as precise as possible with it. And anyway, so I accurized them both, played with them both last year. I mean, I've had these ones for probably 3 years, 4 years at that point. And I had done a lot of upgrades and all sorts of shit. So anyway, I was fucking around with them. And for whatever reason, all last year, I wasn't happy with the one trigger job I did on the one. While it was apart, it felt great. Click, 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 felt great. No creep, soft break, nothing. So anyway, I took that bitch back apart, probably last November, and about 6 months ago now, and fucked with the trigger, and I filed a little bit too much off. I got about 10 shots out of it before it just, the trigger wouldn't even stay cocked, which is an issue. So I've got parts from a couple old ones laying around. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll just swap the trigger out on that, no big deal. So I grab my other one, which is scoped up, and I go to zap a couple rounds out of that just to check zero and get, again, it's time to start thinning out what I can of the population of starlings and saving songbirds. I actually found, so fucked up, I found two dove eggs on my porch. There's a pine tree above my porch, and a couple days previous to me finding the dove eggs, I had heard a family of starlings move in, which is kind of what got me going on. Okay, let me get my fucking rifles all tuned up, ready to go. Because I've just been super busy with the podcast and a lot of other shit. The two youngest, you know, a lot of shit. I was actually going to tear apart my... Anyway, I'll get to that, but... So, and then I noticed two dove eggs laying on my porch because those starlings had already gotten into... I had been watching these doves make a nest over the last couple weeks, and sometimes they'd get up on my top rail on my porch. I built like a flower bed that goes up to about 8 foot, and they'd get up on the top board there, and they would just kind of sit there, you know, and I can look out my window from upstairs and see them. I can look out my bathroom window on the door, and I can see them, and they'd just be sitting there side by side, snuggling all nice and cute, you know. And I'd see them flying with like grass because I cleared out the garden, and they'd be pulling grass out of the, basically the fucking compost pile I made. The dogs had chewed up fucking toys this winter, so there was stuffing and everything out there I had to clean up. But anyway, so they're pulling all this shit to make a nest. Well, then I see these eggs on the porch, and it lit me. It lit me. I was like, all right, yep, it's starling time. Well, so anyway, I go to shoot my second rifle. I had forgot, honestly, about the trigger in the first, or else I would have ordered a trigger over the winter. But I was like, yeah, you know, I got another one. If I think back, I think that's what it was. I was like, I got this other bad bitch. No big deal. It's scoped up. It's, you know, win-win. Now, if it would have been the other way around and the trigger on the scoped one wasn't, you know, I would have been more inclined to... Anyway, so I go to zap off a couple rounds with my scoped boy, and I get one pump, and it quits building pressure. I'm like, fuck. So I snapped air out of it, do the same thing. Well, at some point over the last couple months, my seals went bad. I store them vertical. I oil them when I'm not going to shoot them for a long time, especially. I oil them, probably over oil them, but it's always worked for me. So for whatever reason, I go to pull them out of the closet this year, and the one I forgot the trigger won't stay cocked, and on the other one, now it's not pumping. It's not holding any pressure beyond one pump, which I run Q-tips through my barrels every now and then. I cut the heads off a Q-tip, and I shoot a Q-tip out of the barrel just to kind of clean what I can out. I'll brush it, hit it with a brass brush, shoot a couple Q-tips out, brass brush it, hit it with some bore cleaner. And anyway, I can't even get a Q-tip to come out of the barrel on one pump. So, is what I'm trying to say. So I ordered a parts kit, rebuild for the seals that came in today. And my dump valve that came in today, the exhaust valve. And so I was just going to rebuild it today, but it's fucking late. Ain't going to happen. Yeah, so I'm hoping to do that this week. They're both one hole guns. The scoped one, I shot a one hole group at about 20 yards. I think it was like 18 yards when I paced it. I mean, it's basically always been a one hole gun since I've done the accuracy upgrades. But with that scope, I can literally, you know, I usually shoot 5 rounds. I think the one, I should have it laying around somewhere, because it was, I shot it before I put it away and shot a pretty good group. Not my best group, because I've literally shot one whole groups with it. You know, it's a pretty good group, about the size of maybe 2 pellets side by side. Maybe I'll use that as my episode photo. If I remember right, it's 5, maybe 7 rounds I shot into it, just because I was like, damn, it's shooting fuck great. You know, and then it's fun poking one hole, but then when you quit eating cardboard away and you're just wasting pellets shooting through a hoop that you created, it's kind of like, why am I just wasting pellets, you know? I could be shooting 15 feet to the left. I wouldn't know, because I'm literally shooting through anyway. So maybe I'll have that done this week. And I don't know why that got brought up. Oh, yeah, because I was talking about the Canic and guns in general, the pellet gun. 'Tis the season. Well, shit, let me check in on you really quick. How the fuck are you doing? How are you doing? Well, you know, I hope you're staying positive. It's not always easy to stay positive, but I want to... When you... You need to... If it's hard for you to find positivity or calm your mind, find appreciation, if you feel a little bit off center, like you're starting to wobble in your rotations, do me a favor. Do you a favor. Do your kids, your wife, your grandma, your dad, your mom, your husband, whoever. Do them a favor. Do you a favor. Do me a favor. Go out. Take time. Go out. Find a spot where you're comfortable. Someplace that is calming. Somewhere where you don't have to think about anything or worry about anything. Maybe it's a tree in the woods. Maybe it's a bench at a park. Maybe it's a corner of your backyard. Maybe it's a corner of your room. Find that place and think about this. Think about how crazy it is that this is even happening at all. Existence. Life. Just think about that. I want you to think about the problems, the things that are stressing you out, the things bringing negativity or that you're looking at negatively. And I want you to think of how crazy it is that that's even a possibility. You'll probably chuckle. because in the vastness of this universe, the fact that the universe even exists and that you exist within it, and that these problems exist within your life, within this universe, is just fucking crazy, isn't it? Isn't it, though? I don't give a fuck if it's raining, snowing, just the shittiest weather, or the sunniest weather, the coldest day, the hottest day. I don't give a fuck what it is. Go outside and look up. Whether it's night, daytime, dusk, dawn, I don't give a shit. Just the fact that you can experience that is mind-numbing. Something I've never been able to comprehend. Why me? I've asked myself that a lot in my life. Why me? Why is this happening? Why is life? Why am I given the opportunity to live? Why am I given the opportunity to live now? Why have I been given the opportunity to live now in this place with these freedoms? With this lack of concern for food, for the most part. I've learned to procure my own, don't get me wrong. I don't rely completely on the system. But just the fact that I don't have to go out and rely on the grain I harvested last year, having enough left over to plant this year, or where I'm going to graze my livestock so I can eat this winter. Like, and people still do that all over the world. But why me? Like, why, you know, why? And then in this universe, like, why this planet? Why this time? Why this little corner, not even a corner, but why this little space in the universe? Why am I given X amount of rotations around the sun? Why am I, how am I able to raise the next generation of people? Why do I have three people that I'm raising that are going to experience this? Like, how fucking nuts is that? And all these problems that we have, when I have them, I try and think, dude, come on. One, if it's an infinite universe, there's a me out there that's dealing with worse, and there's a me that's not dealing with this at all. I went over that with the Zach and the Jake. But just the fact that it's even a possibility for me to deal with these issues or for me to have this opportunity is fucking mind-blowing. Doesn't make any sense. Appreciate the ride. I mean, there's people that want off now. There's people that they died too soon. They're enjoying the fuck out of their life. And they're just gone. Like that. Gone. And then there's us. And then there's us. Just think about that. Next time you're having a bad day or anything, just find humor in the fact that this is fucking insane. For example, if you're at work and you're like, what are we doing? Exactly. What are we doing? What are we doing? What is this? What are we doing? I hope it helps. I hope you can remember to think that way. But seriously, if your spot is a hammock with a book on your chest, before you even open that book up, close your eyes, feel the sun on your face or the breeze on your skin or the rain or whatever it is. Hear the birds, hear the cars, hear whatever the fuck is around you, and just think, everything that you're hearing is going through not the exact same thing, but the same odds as you. What are the odds? Astronomical. If you're not handicapped, that's even crazier. What are the odds that you came out or haven't encountered an issue or had an accident where you're still free to roam and free to fucking, you know? There's all sorts of little things to appreciate. How many ants did you kill on your way out to your hammock? Like, what? Think of them. How crazy is it that they're just living their day, their life, not harming anybody? To them, it's not a giant world, but if you put yourself in their perspective, it's a giant fucking world. And then all of a sudden, this skyscraper just, boom, plants itself on 19 of them. And then is gone. And they're like, what the fuck? Did you see that alien spaceship come down here? And, you know? Just, it's insane, man. It's insane. And no matter what happens in your life, until you die, you have life. You lose your house, your car, a loved one, your job, you name it. The worst things that can happen are still life. You still have life. Yeah, you have to experience and go through that and cope with it, manage that throughout the rest of your life. But it's not taking your life unless it takes your life. You know? And then eventually it's going to be a story. It's going to be a lesson for the next generation or somebody that you bump into. Or maybe you'll learn a lesson while you're going through what you're going through from somebody that's went through something that you would consider worse. And you see how they manage it and cope with it. And just the fact that that can happen is so insane to me. So I hope you're doing good. And if not, I hope you find perspective and appreciation. Go put your fucking toes in the dirt. Put your toes in the sand. Put your feet in the water. Swish them bitches. You know, I mean, maybe do the research. Make sure you're not putting it in a fucking sewer pond or somewhere where there's E. coli or piranhas. Crocodiles. Crocodile. But, I love you. And the fact that I can say that, mean that, feel that, is insane. The fact that you don't know how I feel personally, but you feel the same things, hopefully, and can tie in another place that you feel like I'm telling you I feel, and understand what I'm expressing is just nuts, dude. Nuts. Bro. God damn. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I hope you're doing good. I hope I didn't lose you. I hope you made it to that little rant through all the gun shit and the fucking female trauma, potentially. I don't know. Just me rambling. I hope you made it. If not, whatever. I'm sorry. You know, I do this for you just as much as I do it for me at this point, you know. But either way, you know, I hope it reaches the people that need to hear it. And if you're one of them, you know, I'd appreciate if you float an email or share some of your story. Follow me on Twitter. Well, X, formerly known as Twitter. Louis got me. I gotta get my shit uploaded on Rumble. I'm going to try and change my sleep schedule over the next couple of weeks, and then maybe I'll start having to do those one every morning or whatever the fuck. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah. If I get that pellet gun together, maybe I'll post some pictures on the socials of the groups, because putting it back together, I hate taking them apart because they're never as accurate when you put them back together. Then you got to take them back apart and then find out what happened. Because I have a high standard of accuracy. And if I've got little flyers, like I know what pellets each gun shoots, how many pumps, all the shit. Dialed. And if it's not holding up to standard, you got to do it again. And it's just one of those things where I would do it right now, but I could have an apartment back together in a half hour. But if it's not, if I can't shoot it right now and test it, I'm going to be thinking about it tomorrow. Won't be able to wait to get, you know, come home to do that. Hang out with the kids, shoot the pellet gun a little bit, kiss the wife. And then if it's not holding up, it's like, fuck, now I got to redo this. Find the time to do it again. Might be another day or two. Who knows? Depending on the recording schedule or the wife's work schedule. Who knows? So, trying to think if there was anything. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you, too. Went fishing. Kia caught the first fish of the year and the only fish of the day. And that's the first time that's happened. And I told her it will be the last time. Look at me. Do you understand me? This will be the last time that ever happens. I catch the fish around here. Me. You want to catch a fish? You come to me. You run that shit by me. I okay whether or not you can catch a fish. If you even want to go look at the water and skip stones, you come to me first. You okay that with me. Oh, you want to travel across the country and go fishing or throw stones or go swim? You come to me and you okay that with me. Because that water and everything in it, I control that. The last time. That's it. I love you. I hope you guys have a good day. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Even though I'm recording on a Sunday, it'll post on Thursday. So I hope you enjoy the fuck out of your weekend. And until next time, like I said, I'm going to ramble for a second. Like I said, write in, hit me up, share it. If you enjoy what I'm doing, honestly, PSA really quick. If you enjoy what I'm doing, please share. If you're a friend on Facebook, I've sent invites to my page to everybody. So just go through your invites, find the Whistle Pig podcast page, invite, or just go to my page, give it a like. I can really use the support. I've been a little bit behind schedule as far as starting to push things as much as I would like. So if you appreciate or if you enjoy what I'm doing, I would extremely appreciate a share. You don't have to say anything. Maybe even go back, find your favorite episode and share that. Just whatever you could do to help. Again, follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Whistlepig Pod, Rumble, Whistlepig Podcast, YouTube, Whistlepig Podcast, Instagram, at Whistlepig Podcast, Facebook, Whistlepig Podcast, trying to think of anything else. Nope. But if you go to my Podbean page, there'll be a link to all the platforms that, not all the platforms, but a lot of the platforms I get distributed to. Whatever platform somebody has to listen to podcast media, I'm on 95% of them. So odds are if you look up Whistlepig Podcast and your preferred podcast provider, I'm there. And I know I've got a lot of crazy episodes. Not the best content, not the best audio quality. Say some controversial shit. Some of it gets taken out of context because I am a sarcastic motherfucker and it doesn't come across as it because I've been delivering sarcasm for 32 years. So a lot of times it's hard to distinguish. But anyway, if you enjoy, I'd appreciate some love and support. I want to get my view my viewer up to where I can, instead of having to create a Patreon and ask for money, I can just maybe throw some ads in and just ask you to fast forward through them. Keep it free for everybody. Because I'm not trying to have anybody pay for content. It's fucking ridiculous to me, especially in this world where I'm competing with 1,700 fucking new episodes and movies and everything that's put up on Netflix and the podcasts every day, millions of podcasts. You fucking name it. I got to compete with all that. Then I'm going to ask you for money? What? Who would have the audacity? Well, I have audacity. That's what I'm recording on right now. But who would have the audacity and the arrogance to think that their content needs to be behind a paywall when you can find similar, if not better, content for free? Bars. Peace, bitches. You know what? No, let me apologize. My beautiful people. I'm sorry I called you all bitches. I'm not going to cut that either, because y'all some motherfuckers. I love you. Have a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Whistlepig. If you would like to support this podcast, please like and subscribe, rate and review, and follow on social media at Whistlepig Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble. You can email questions or comments to whistlepigpodcast@gmx.com. That's G as in girl, M as in man, X as in x-ray.com. And until you hear from me again, get outside, take a kid with you, and stay free.